Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with Almeen. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations. A world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
O thou great spirit that dwells in all things, let us see the miracle of manifestation as it manifests in abundance all around us. Let us never be so steeped in cares that we fail to see that the very thorn bush by the side of the road is aflame with the glory of God. Help us not to take for granted the miracle of all that manifests in its abundance of form and beauty and diversity, a rarity in the cosmos. For such diversity of manifestation is found only at these dense levels. For within our density, even as there is loss of perception, there is a gain in beauty and diversity. Great Spirit, help us to be aware and to manifest consciously rather than haphazardly all that is in harmony with thy eternal will. Where the atoms that months before were not seen as a seed grows through the ground, causing atoms to cluster to form a plant of exquisite beauty with a succulent vegetable like a cucumber for all to enjoy. Where did these circumstances in our life come from that we pull in through our hopes and our dreams and our fear and our thoughts? Thoughts form through falling into the reservoir of our heart and acting upon the substance of things hoped for. And thus, thought and feeling combine to form our world. Forgotten with the demise of the ancient civilizations that stood upon the earth, the great gift that was given to him, that of being co-creators with God. Many star beings come to marvel how with our thoughts we keep illusion in place, for they have not seen such power of thought anywhere else. We keep in place the manifestation of being separate, the illusion that we are not the one expressing as the many, but simply individual creations. The illusion is manifested by us, that we can relate one to another. For it is in our relationships that we find the manifestation of those areas of our life that need to grow. All around us, manifestation takes place day by day as we create our reality. What would we have to create it thoughtlessly, or to create it consciously? Instead, we speak of seeking truth, whereas if we but understood the power of manifestation we hold, we would realize that truth is what a master creates moment by moment as thoughts and feelings consciously manifest life. Whether we acknowledge it or not, we are creating this. Are we creating imperfection and distortion through allowing our thoughts to dwell on fear and want and lack? Or would we create heaven on earth, keeping our eyes firmly fixed upon a distant horizon, eyes raised above the storm? We speak of prayer. Prayer as an answer to manifesting those circumstances we wish. But if all day we fear the worst, dwelling on what could happen if it did occur, how we would manage to survive, what could possibly go wrong? And then hastily at night, murmur a few words of prayer, asking that the hardship be removed from us. Which words fall into the sea of existence, creating our reality? Thoughts and feelings create. Would it be the prevalent thoughts of the day that focused on the fear and the worry and the concern? Or would it be the hastily murmured words at night? Fear, lack, perfection, abundance, whatever our most prevalent thoughts are, they are our most sincere prayers. Prayer is the heart's most sincere desire. It is the thoughts that focus. It is time for us to know that we are heirs to the kingdom of God, not servants at the gate begging for alms. It is not our destiny to be held in the infantile state of begging to be saved from conditions we have manifested according to the exact plan we made with our higher self prior to our birth. But rather, it is time for us to reach our spiritual adulthood, to take responsibility for that which we create in our environment. Every single event in our life has been planned and designed by ourselves. The timing impeccably orchestrated, that each event play out at the exact right moment, with only one purpose in mind: our destiny, to fulfill the destiny. We are to come forth, manifesting in form, to turn the unknown into the known. This is growth. To evolve awareness through our experience. Why did we have to manifest body to do this? Because it is here, in the material plane, where the known meets the unknown, that all new knowledge is gained. It is for this that we have come. Every event manifesting in our life is designed to this purpose, that we might play our part. In pushing forward the evolution of all life, it is truly our manifested purpose to help and support the growth of the cosmos. Like the fingers of the hand of God, moving deeply into the unknown, we seek it out by our experience. But when we resist life and those conditions we have deliberately manifested, we manifest instead painful circumstances. Pain signals that a change in the direction of our life is necessary. Around us, miracles abound. Around us, beings as vast as the cosmos, having a human experience, manifest bodies to do so. A small child is more of a miracle than a far-flung galaxy out in space. That such vastness can manifest as a single small body is truly a miracle. If we but take time to see the miracles in our lives, how in our darkest hour there is always a loving hand to lift us up and over when we manifest our worst fears. We manifest not only what we think and our emotions, but also draw in that which we focus on. do we wish to lend our energy to the wars broadcast on our television stations as though it were a game? Do we wish to give our attention to opposing life, to opposing separation or illusion? For according to the laws of manifestation, we strengthen that which we oppose. We empower that which we focus on. And we bring forth that which we fear. To fear the circumstances that might manifest in our life. Devastation, loss of abundance, abandonment, or loss of loved ones, is not to trust ourselves. If we cannot trust that which we have manifested is truly for our highest good, how can we trust life? For we are the designers of our life, and our life has been designed for the highest good of all. To fear another is truly to fear ourselves, for we are all a consciousness as vast as the cosmos, and in that highest identity we are the one expressing as the many. To realize that we manifest every circumstance in our life removes from us the feeling of victimhood. Those we have pulled in to play their parts have been pulled in for a purpose. Even that which is life-destructive in others serves a purpose when it is before us. For we have come to gather insights about the mystery of the infinite's being. It is indeed for this that we were created. And when we pull in others in our lives that seem cruel, that seem blind to the effects of their actions, it is because that is exactly what we needed to manifest to gain those insights. We are never a victim. But does the road have to be so very hard? In some instances it did. For those whom I have called forth through prayer to listen to these words are the pivot points of the cosmos. They are those trailing clouds of glory who have come from the highest realms to lead all creation home on a cosmic ascension that began in 2005. For this, the key players in the cosmos have come. And many have chosen hardship in their past. For, as reward for the great service they render, in coming from these high realms into the lower areas of existence, their gift in exchange is that through their overcomings, they can make the greatest difference. What would we then have chosen? Easy lives, seasonless in the sun of existence. For it is through the storms that our strength and perception and power grew until this day, when we are to bring all of existence home. For the command was given, bring my children home. Because the way showers have sacrificed to come into this density, every overcoming benefits multiple beings. But it is not necessary that we require a hammer over the head to tell us when to change. If we heed the gentle whisperings of our pain, if we heed the guiding hand of spirit, by taking time each day to sit in stillness, that we might hear the Infinite's voice within our hearts. We need not manifest so very much pain. It can be a gentle and graceful dance, in full cooperation with our higher selves. To manifest order and grace and beauty, let us therefore cease to oppose life. Instead, let us embrace our challenges, for within them lies buried the lustrous gems of insight. We manifest just as surely as the cucumber plant did. From nothing, it would seem, every event in our life. Let us now look at the mystical secrets behind manifestation, that which few but the mystery schools have told. Within creation, manifestation takes place through frequency, through emotion, through vibration, the feminine aspect of the cosmos. But what is manifestation? Manifestation is the stepping down into actual experience or into actual form, the energetic levels that reside in higher octaves above us. In other words, it is the taking form and action of that etheric world known as indwelling life. And this is done through the use of frequency, emotion, feeling, vibration, all slightly different, but the feminine principle of the cosmos. For truly, your most ardent prayer that manifests your world is the most sincere desires of your heart. Let us see how this is done. Let us suppose that the cucumber plant needs to be formed. When the rustle of spring sings the song of awakening to nature, a diva from the magical kingdoms, from the mystical realms, assigned the task of producing the cucumber plant, creates the song that only this particular particular plant sings, the frequency that only this particular plant has. In the designated area where the plant is to form. At first, that which will become the root system has a very specific note in the song of the plant. And first and foremost, this note is played clearly and loudly. And a small elemental, a small fairy-like creature, comes to form the root system, called forth by the song the cucumber diva has played. Next, more elementals arrive to accentuate the note within the song that will form the stem. And then the leaves, and eventually, the beautiful cucumber itself. But where do the atoms come from that rush to give form to this beautiful creation? And why are the atoms attracted to this area defined by the cucumber plant diva? To understand how this occurs, we must know the following laws. For it is these laws that enable a master to produce from two fish and a few loaves of bread multiple baskets of food for thousands. How is such manifestation done? By understanding the following laws. For it will manifest a cucumber plant, or a miracle, or a situation in one's life, just as surely as night follows day. Within matter and energy, opposites attract. But light and frequency, the same poles attract. Let us pause a minute in explaining manifestation and its laws and see how this plays out in our lives. Those that are filled with light are often the target of beings of undeveloped light who gather like moths to a flame. They have no light, but they are made of energy. With energy, opposites attract. We have often heard, on the other hand, many speak about how they are attracted to like-minded people, or they feel kinship with those who feel the same feelings in their heart. Mind is light that is applied. With light and feeling or frequency, same poles attract.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
One of the hidden laws of existence is that the etheric realms is negatively charged in polarity, in relation to the material world. On the other side of that membrane, it is negative, in polarity. On this side of the membrane in which we dwell and have our physical being, it is positive. But now, within this positive realm of manifested material life, there is now a pocket of a blueprint that is negatively charged, for it has been pulled in the most miraculous way, through that membrane. Energy and matter, opposites attract. Atoms and energy are now irresistibly drawn to where the blueprint resides. Atoms rush in and arrange themselves according to the matrix and the frequency of the blueprint. To show how frequency gives form, we can cut out a round circle from a cardboard box and put it on a glass, placing metal shavings on top. We can strike the glass with various tuning forks, and we will find that every different frequency gives different pattern or form to those shavings. The frequency in the blueprint that has pushed through from the other side of the veil, drawn by the song the Diva played, now arranges the atoms according to the root system, the stems, the leaves, the cucumber vegetable itself. And so, a miracle has happened, and the plant forms. In the exact same way, beloved ones, it is the frequency we emit with our lives that draws in our circumstances. It is the mirror in which we can observe our own frequency, much like the way that Shakespeare said, "I, your looking glass, shall be, and will reveal to you things that you yourself know not of." James Allen, who wrote that marvelous little book, As a Man Thinketh, said, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Environment is but a looking glass." We can most surely observe ourselves in that which we have manifested as our circumstances. If our heart is filled with optimism, joy, gladness, gratitude and love, grace, elegance, abundance shall most certainly be displayed in our environment. Let us guard our thoughts, for from them our future is born. As the cosmic ascension has begun, manifestation has become quicker and quicker and quicker. In fact, it has become almost immediate. If it is to become physical, the time will be but a little later to form in our physical environment. But it is indeed becoming less and less dense as we ascend. How exactly does density, or lack thereof, affect the time period between a thought and a feeling and their manifestation? Perhaps we should start by understanding what density is. Density is the deliberate obscuring of perception. We have taken upon us deliberately some illusion, some blind spots, so that we can relate. The blind spots we undertook to carry are very specific to each individual, for they are determined by that which we have undertook to solve with our life. If it is that we solve suffering, then the blind spots shall be in that area that we suffer or cause suffering based on illusion, that we might solve the mystery of why we suffer when we are all things. Illusion requires, on the other hand, that there be a delay between cause and effect. If for every wrong action, every action that is not life-enhancing, there is an immediate repercussion, we would not repeat such a wrong action. And that is not an accident, for it is the area in which our very mistakes are to become our teachers. Everywhere we turn, innocence of experience can be found. Perfection underlying the appearances. Where illusion is necessary, a delay between cause and effect must take place to give us a chance to learn from our mistakes, to learn from our blind spots. For it is for that very reason that we have assumed them, that we have taken them upon ourselves. In order for a delay to occur between our thoughts and feelings and their manifestation, a complexity is created between time and space and their relationship. We need not understand that at this point, but what we do have to understand is that linear time forms as a result of density, and that linear time causes a delay in cause and effect. Thus, as we have raised not only as a planet, but as an entire cosmos since February of 2005 in an unconditional ascension, we have gone into higher and higher and higher levels of existence. In fact, linear time is but an illusion at this point. Many already live in eternal time. Many of the light seekers have found themselves unable to talk about tomorrow, to plan, to talk about yesterday, for they seem not to exist at all. This is eternal time. They are living in that place of power called the now. But why is the moment the place of power? If we can imagine time like a horizontal figure eight, one loop lies before us and is the future, and one loop lies behind us and is the past. The crossover point is this moment, and where it crosses over is right behind the belly button in the body, which is the exact spot of every person's life force center, about the size of a grapefruit. A white ball of light lies right behind the belly button. If we therefore live on that spot where the figure eight crosses over itself, that moment which is now, we are living in our life force. It is the way to become an immortal master. It is the place of no resistance to life. It is the place where aging stops and in fact reverses, where the body's cells self-regenerate. It is the eternal now. There is a way we can cultivate living in such mastery. If we take but as much time to feed the soul as we feed the body, we would take 20 minutes in the morning, setting our alarm a bit earlier, 20 minutes during our lunch hour, and 20 minutes before we sleep at night, just to be, just to sit in full awareness to the moment. Beloved ones, this is not the same as meditation. For meditation is a different form of awareness. This living in eternal time is instead the goal that meditation was designed to achieve. For as we master it, bit by bit, it can become a way of life, and when it does, manifestation can be instant, and miracles can abound. If we would know what it is like to sit in the eternal now, remember what it was like as a child, when our mother would place us in a high chair, and we would be fully present in the moment, feeling the texture of the food, tasting every bite, seeing our mother's actions in the kitchen, feeling what each person in the room was feeling, observing the light through the window, and the little specks of dust illuminated in the sunbeam's radiance. We were fully alive. No wonder the Master has said, except ye become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Also did he say, the kingdom of heaven is within. The kingdom of heaven, that place of mastery, where we have power not only over the cells of our own body, but the elements around us which respond to our very command. But mastery requires cooperation with life, not an attempt to manifest what we want and control it. We do not need to go to the future when we live in the moment. The future will come to us. When we look to outside circumstances to fix our lives, to heal our bodies, to provide us with comfort or joy or happiness, to keep us from being lonely, we might well find that manifestation doesn't take place quite as we had anticipated. It is not our purpose for being here, to stay in the shelters of life, but instead to embrace change. When we do not recognize the vastness of our own being, as vast as all that is, a unique awareness superimposed over all that is, life will not give us that which will not prompt us to seek who we truly are, to recognize that truth which will surely change our lives. That is, that our being is our sustenance. All joy, all that which is abundant, all that which takes care of us, all that which empowers and heals, is not found without, before finding it within. Then what we receive from without is but a bonus. Within us is our inner family, an inner nurturer or parent, an inner child, an inner grandfather or sage or elder, call it what you will. It is the wisdom giver, an inner warrior that protects our borders and guards our thoughts, that they think only the most beautiful thoughts possible, and thus create harmonious environment. In us is our wild woman, our wild instinctual man, that is guided by instinct, that makes life strong and virulent. In us is our highest God self, that which does not need to think, knows. Effortless knowing is true thought. All we need for company is within. When we know these pieces and they communicate and they each bring their unique gifts and ways to access our next step. In us is all abundance. For if our choices are always made from our highest identity and not our lowest fears, abundance must flow to us. because we have become a conduit for the infinite's being, the center of our cosmos, the point of power upon which all things pivot. Our being is our sustenance. When we fulfill our own needs, the relationships we will manifest will then be ones of wholeness. But if we seek to assuage the pain of alienation that is within by filling the gap with others and our relationships with them, those relationships cannot last. Such manifestation would block growth and change, which is growth, is the one constant of the cosmos. Therefore, let us hold lightly to those things we have manifested today, for they could become traps of our awareness if we don't. As consciousness changes, the very things that were so constant today will be replaced by a higher level of manifestation. So often we look with regret at something we have lost. Do we not trust that we can manifest it again? That which created it in the first place is able to create it and so much more. If it has become obsolete, what awareness must we cultivate to create it at a higher level, better and more beautiful than before? We cannot wish for change, beloveds. Wish to manifest different circumstances without being prepared to change ourselves. We cannot change unless we first accept ourselves. Do we wish to live in a palace? Then this day, from the depths of our heart, may we be grateful for the shelter we have. We wish another job. Let us be grateful for that which we do have, doing it magnificently and to the glory of the divine in all life. Meantime, let us steadfastly keep the vision of that which we wish to pull in into our future. Gratefully doing the best we can today while fanning the flame of our dreams by filling in the details, by seeing it the way we would have it be. Many understand half of this principle. They either focus so on the moment that they do not, with their desires, create a more beautiful future. Or instead, they think of all that they would like to have. But because they are not grateful for today and what they already have, it becomes an obsession and a need rather than a desire. Not only can we only change when we accept that which is, we can only draw in those desires that are not needs, because we are fulfilled by being grateful for what is. It is a need that shelters us from growth. It is an obsession that stifles our consciousness. Let us joyously, gratefully, and creatively manifest a life fulfilled in the knowledge that we are all there is, and our being is our true sustenance. That the way we live our life, manifesting creatively, is our gift to the infinite, and the infinite's gift to us. That we are heirs to the kingdom, and we may ask and manifest for all we want.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Walking Between the Worlds with Almeen. You can listen live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the Seventh Wave Network. That's every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll see you next week.